The Lord be with you.
And with
your spirit. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you return are returned." Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger into the nail marks, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Now a week later, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, although the doors were locked, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Bring your hand and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believe." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you come to believe because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book. But these are written that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that through this belief, you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord. Happy Easter once again. Jesus is risen. Hallelujah. He is risen.
Hallelujah.
He is risen.
Hallelujah.
He's risen in our hearts. And divine mercy helps to step down this resurrection story, the witnessing. St. John says, "These are written that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God." They are written so that you may believe. You may believe. So that you may experience. So that you may encounter the risen Christ. So that the Thomas in you will die. So that the doubts, the confusions in you will give way to witnessing, authentic witnessing to the Lord. In the second reading of today, St. Peter writes, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in his great mercy gave us a new birth to a living hope." Our Lord and Father, who in Christ Jesus, in his great mercy, has given us a new birth to a living hope. So your hope has to be alive, right? Has to be alive. And what happens if your hope is alive? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. Can you imagine? It's kept in heaven. Do you know that? It's kept in heaven for you. If you have any other target, that's your problem. But it's kept in heaven for you. So God has already kept this inheritance in heaven for you. What is he expecting of you? To do what? Grab it. Grab it. Grab your portion of this inheritance. I'm reading the scripture. Right? I'm reading from the scripture. I'm not telling you what is in my head. Right? This is the scripture. 1 Peter chapter 1 from verse 3 to 9. And this is the third verse and the fourth verse, saying that God, blessed be him who is God and your Father, who through our Lord Jesus Christ has given you this mercy, great mercy. That's what he calls it, great mercy. And this great mercy gives birth to a living hope. And this living hope comes through the resurrection of Christ Jesus, who has come back from the dead to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled for you, unfading, kept for you in heaven. And who by the power of God are safeguarded through faith. Safeguarded through faith. So faith is the vessel for safeguarding your hope. And hope is the channel, the driver for this faith. And this faith takes you to an inheritance that has been prepared for you, that is kept for you in heaven. My dear people, aren't we privileged? Aren't we privileged to be believers, to be followers? So these things are written so that you may come to believe. That is faith. That is invitation. That is an offer from Jesus. Jesus, I trust in you. That's what we say on Divine Mercy. That's what the Divine Mercy invites us to do. Jesus, I trust in you. In the diary of St. Faustina, we read, I am love and mercy itself. This is God. Let no soul fear to draw near to me, even though its sins be as scarlet. My mercy is greater than your sins and those of the entire world. I let my sacred heart be pierced with a lance, thus opening wide the source of mercy for you. Come then with trust to draw graces from this fountain. The graces of my mercy are drawn by means of one vessel only, and that is trust. The more a soul trusts, the more the soul will receive the mercy. Divine Mercy Sunday. I see a lot of our young families here, and I heard this is supposed to be children's mass. I only hear a voice of only one baby. So, but on this day, we celebrate a gift, a unique gift, a special gift. And this gift, Pope John Paul II helped us to appreciate the gift of Divine Mercy a little better through St. Faustina's diary and helping us to understand that God has thrown this mercy out. And God himself is mercy. The name of God is Mercy. It's a book written by Pope Francis. So this mercy invites us to feel Christ as offering himself for you. And when we talk about trust, Jesus, I trust in you. Think about that. What does it mean to trust? To trust means to give yourself to someone, believing that you are safe, believing that that person will be there for you, will hold you. In our world today, a lot of people don't know how to trust because perhaps they have been wounded, perhaps they've been betrayed. The divine mercy invites us to understand that God is the only one in this world who can be fully trusted. Who can be fully, you sleep, you trust him that you wake up, right? When you were sleeping last night, you believe that you wake up, right? Hello? That's your trust. You trust that if I sleep, I will wake up. You eat spaghetti, you eat whatever, even fufu, and you believe it will digest, right? And it will digest. You drink water, you believe it will nourish your body because you trust in God. You set out on a journey. Hey, Father, pray for me. I prayed for someone who is traveling to the Philippines this morning. Father, pray for me that my journey will be safe. Because you trust that God will take you through that journey and back, right? That is what God does. But then there's a different level of trust. And that trust is the trust of being forgiven of your sins. That's the spiritual level of trust. There's a different level of trust that helps you to understand that God is your Father and that spiritually He gets you. And that is why on this day, the church offers what is called indulgence, plenary indulgence. And indulgence is a temporal forgiveness that it goes beyond forgiveness, really. When you sin, okay, let me explain it first. When you commit sin and you go to confession, your sins are forgiven, right? Your sins are forgiven. But having forgiven your sins doesn't mean that there's no punishment that is meant for the sin. So an indulgence wipes off the punishment that is for sin. When your child, for example, breaks a glass in the house, right? Breaks a glass and comes to you and says, "Oh, Mom, I'm sorry I broke this glass." You forgive the child, but the glass is broken, right? The glass is broken. So there is a stain of punishment that goes with the sin. And that is why when we teach about purgatory, purgatory is that state, that place where souls go through temporary punishment because of traces of sin. And then the sin is wiped off by the mercy of God, by the love of God, and through the prayers of the people as well. So on this day, the church grants indulgence. So your indulgence can help someone in purgatory to gain freedom, to have their punishment completely wiped off. So the church grants that. And what do you have to do? At 2 p.m. today, we're offering confessions. That's one of the things. So within 1 week of this divine mercy, you have the opportunity to go to confession and then say a prayer for the intention of the Holy Father and do the divine mercy prayer, the divine mercy chaplet. Just that. Just that. And you have the mercy of God. So most times, we act like Thomas in the gospel of today. Thomas went away by the time Jesus came. But let's not always see Thomas as that bad guy. Don't see Thomas as the bad guy in the crop of the apostles. No. All the disciples were traumatized by the time that Christ was crucified. And having betrayed him one way or the other, each of them took to their own way. At some point, Peter called the disciples, the apostles, and said, "Guys, I'm going fishing." Right? I'm going fishing. And Christ meets Peter and the disciples at the river of Tiberias. That's where he met them and showed himself to them. The other disciples who were going to Emmaus were downcast. They were downcast. They were shocked because this thing is not heard of. That someone they had believed in, someone they have completely put their trust in, all of a sudden he's killed. Remember, these guys have left everything and followed him. So their relationship with the scribes, the Pharisees, the chief priests isn't even good. So what else? Let's discover where we were before. And then they went off. The only thing with Thomas is that maybe Thomas hung out longer than the others. He was away for a longer time. But then he's coming back and they're telling him that the Lord is risen, something that is not even common. He is risen from the dead. And Thomas says, "Hey guys, I don't get this. I don't get it. What does that mean? I thought he died. Anyone would say that." Thomas questions in order to do what? To see. And Jesus appears for the sake of Thomas. The first gift that Jesus gives to the disciples is what? Peace be with you. He appears within locked doors. The doors are locked. And Jesus appears. Jesus defies every challenge, every obstacle to appear in our lives. Most of us are locked in by anxiety. Most of us are locked in by fears. Most of us are locked in by trauma. Most of us are locked in by circumstances happening in our lives. Divine mercy opens that door for us to encounter Jesus. And he appears and says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." The Holy Spirit is a gift of God that sanctifies, that renews, that revives, that recreates. The Holy Spirit is the source of life. And Jesus knows that there are dead parts of these disciples' lives at this moment. So the Holy Spirit will need to do what? To infuse and inject newness into their lives. And he breathes into them and says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." My dear friends, some parts of us sometimes feel like dead. And we see ourselves somehow insipid. We see ourselves sometimes feeling tasteless about spiritual life, about engaging in God and engaging with God. Ask God today to breathe in the Holy Spirit into your life. Ask God to breathe in this freshness into your life. Ask God to breathe in this hunger for him, desire for him into your life. Ask God to make this divine mercy a source of flow of his love, his joy, and his peace. And Jesus comes in and says to Thomas, "Touch my wounds." That is divine mercy. "See the nails where they are pierced. Touch them." How compassionate Jesus is. After his resurrection, look at the things that are happening. Jesus comes and sets a fire outside and puts breakfast for the disciples and says, "Hey guys, come and eat." They meet an already made food, an already made fish, and he feeds them. So Jesus is real. Jesus is real. Jesus is real for you. Jesus is real in your life. So those times you are feeling like there are doubts in my life, there are struggles in my life, there are confusions in my life, come back to Jesus because he breathes into you the freshness of the Holy Spirit. Jesus breathes into you the renewal that you need, and with him, you can function again. Receive the Holy Spirit. It's a gift that Jesus is giving to each and every one of us today. And what happens to Thomas? Thomas touches Jesus and becomes different. Thomas touches Jesus and feels different. My Lord and my God. Come on, guys. My Lord and my God. What an exclamation. It's like Adam, when Adam slept, and God took his rib and made the woman, Eve, and woke him up and said, Adam, here is Eve. What does Adam do? There you go. There you go, Lord. That's what Adam said. Now you are talking. Right? Now you are talking. We can take it from here. Yeah. So when Thomas says, my Lord and my God, is that you have brought yourself to me, Jesus. That I can feel you. Lord, I have been away. Now I am back. This is what happens to you when you receive Jesus, his body, his soul, his divinity in the blessed Eucharist. Can you feel that? My Lord and my God. This is what happens to you when at the sacrament of confession, the priest raises his hand and says, through the ministry of the church, may God grant you pardon and peace. I absolve you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. You say, Lord, I thank you for taking off this burden from me. This is what happens to you when you sit in front of the Blessed Sacrament and you talk to Jesus and Jesus talks back to you. You can touch him. You can feel him. You can encounter him. And what does Jesus do to you? He sends you out. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. So all of us here, we are disciples of mercy, agents of mercy, because we have received it from him. So I want to challenge you today. Think about it. Jesus is sending you out, but you can only give mercy if you have mercy. You can only give peace if you have peace. You can only give love if you have love. You can only give forgiveness if you have forgiveness. We, each and every one of us, has this challenge and this mandate. It's not an option. You receive it from God. God wants you to do what? To give it out. So go home today and thank God. Tell him, Lord, I thank you for giving this to me. Make me an agent of mercy. Make me an agent of love. Make me an agent of forgiveness. Make me an agent of peace. And I tell you, like Thomas, you'll be revived if you stay open to the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.